B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's time now to get our training camp report with Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, and he is brought to us by Training Camp. You can get IT certified fast at Training Camp online at trainingcamp.com. Timmy!
Mike.
Are you calling me from Jacksonville?
I am not, yeah. I don't travel for preseason games.
Okay.
With ESPN, so I'm not going to be part of that Nick Foles reunion.
All right, so I mean, Johnny Clark is down there, right? Is Clark down in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think he was reporting from Jacksonville on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I saw yesterday. All right, so let's talk about this game, which is kind of ridiculous because we're not going to see anything. So what are you looking for?
Well, there's a couple areas of focus for me. One of them is going to be the running back position. I think one thing that you could get at least a little excited about maybe is Miles Sanders and seeing what he can do. He got real limited reps in the preseason opener against the Titans, so maybe he gets a little bit more work and you can kind of see what we've been seeing throughout training camp and the kind of the ability that he has. And then, you know, beyond him, there is a running back competition with Smallwood and Adams and a guy like Boston Scott, who also set out the opener. Those guys of competing if the Eagles decide to keep a fifth running back for that fifth running back spot. So running back and obviously, you know, quarterback. All of a sudden, the heightened importance on a guy like Cody Kessler, where we didn't necessarily think coming into the season he'd be much of a factor.
Yeah, and hopefully he doesn't get hurt because that would throw them into his soup. Let me ask you about the wide receiver situation because, you know, everybody assumes that Mac Hollins will be the fifth guy, but you got to get him on field eventually. Is he in danger of losing a job here?
No, I don't think he's quite there yet, but health, obviously a giant question mark with him, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He is right now, but to your point, you know, if he goes down again, then all of a sudden the Eagles are going to be in a position with the regular season coming up of making a determination of like, okay, you know, what are we going to do with this guy? I would say as things stand, you know, Hollins, because of what he can bring on special teams and the fact that the health does appear to be trending in the right direction, at least for now, that he's not in jeopardy. But there are guys that are right behind him who would happily take his spot if there is some wiggle room there, and that would be Mark and Michelle and Charles Johnson and Greg Ward. Those are three other guys that I'm going to be looking at tonight to see what kind of performance they have. If Michelle can do kind of a, you know, a redux of what he did in the opener, I mean, he's going to have to be thrown more into the conversation as the being a guy on this 53-man roster. So there, you know, as far as like spots where people can kind of make or break their destiny, I think, you know, wide receiver might be one of them.
All right. So is Mac Hollins going to play tonight?
He should.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So this is the first chance we'll see him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This will be interesting. All right. That's a spot that we'll be focused on then.
Yes.
All right. Now, with Pumphrey being moved to wide receiver, does that mean that they are going to stash him as a wide receiver on the practice squad? Can they do that?
Yeah. It doesn't really matter what his designation would be. So usually when you get to the point of a guy of like trying him in different spots,
after
he hasn't really shown himself,
he's pretty much out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and making the 53. I mean, I don't see that.
Yeah, we won't see him around that more.
Right.
All right. So let's go now to the defensive end side, and whether Josh Sweat has to show something tonight.
You know, I think so, and it's not to make the team. He's going to be relied on to be part of Jim Schwartz's defensive line rotation, and really counting on him. So it's not so much of okay, I got to solidify my spot. It's more of relieving any concerns that there might be, whether publicly or internally, about what they have at the defensive end position. Because they had their two top productive defensive ends in Chris Long and Michael Bennett leave this offseason, and that opens up, you know, some questions about who's going to be able to fill that void. Now, Derek Barnett has come back from injury and is doing more. But he needs to have a big season along with Brandon Graham. And then who's behind him? Benny Curry, Josh Sweat, the two top names. So I do feel like it would be beneficial, at least from, you know, perspective standpoint, for Sweat to really get after his opponent tonight, and to, you know, if you get a sack under his belt, really push the pocket, then the coaches can feel a little bit better about that position.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Tim, I get an issue in general about this preseason thing, because it seems to me that there's, right now, there's less emphasis, more than ever, on not playing starting guys. And I'm wondering if the league has any concerns about that and whether they would discuss any kind of the substitution for the four games.
Well, I mean, the league is trying to get 18 games, which would reduce the amount of preseason games to two. So from that perspective, it might be trending in a nice direction for them from that way, because that's where they want to get to anyway. But you are definitely picking up on the trend here, and that is that teams across the league are de-emphasizing preseason play and are weighing the value of that versus the risk of getting hurt, and are deciding to do these more intense practices in controlled environments and just keeping their first team away from that danger in those preseason games. And Doug Pearson has mentioned multiple times now this summer that he wants to get into multiple joint practices with teams for future camps. So I think that's something that we're going to start seeing. And that's on his mind, is to get not just like the Ravens, but then another team on top of that to do work, which would only signal more that they're going to reduce the amount of time that these first string players are playing in the preseason. So, I mean, so preseason's always been a ripoff. You're paying full price for really not a full product. And I know that the NFL is efforting trying to get 18 games and reduce the preseason to two. But either way, I think it's safe to say that the importance of those four preseason games are starting to be devalued even more as we move along here.
Yeah, it's basically a third team preseason. You're finding third string guys. It's a total ripoff, and it's spitting in the face of your fans. And I just wonder if the league has any kind of, I know, listen, owners want revenue. I get it, and they're not going to easily relent. But the players aren't going to easily relent on playing 18 games either. So what can happen? It's like a tug of war.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would have to be some pretty rich givings, I would say, from the NFL side for the NFLPA to consent to that. I mean, they, of course, you want to get a larger piece of the pie, but they also have their body wellness in mind, not just for them, but for future generations. And a 16 is rigorous as is, and 18 all the more so. And so it would really have to be a significant slice of the pie that the NFL would be willing to give up in order to entice the NFL to come over. But it is, Mike, and it is kind of a ripoff. And I have a soft spot for, you know, the guys on the bottom of the roster. There's a lot of great stories of guys that are fighting, and they should get opportunity to showcase themselves and all that kind of stuff. But realistically, you know, these teams know almost their entire roster anyway. There's only like a couple spots for upper grabs, and they certainly don't need four games to decide where those games, you know, who those spots are going to. So, I mean, even from that perspective, it doesn't add up.
Yeah. Are you surprised that, well, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but Foles not, probably, will he get work in the third game for them, or are they going to Carson Wentz him?
I think he's getting work, and I believe I read that he's getting work in the third game.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But for a guy that's been battling elbow injuries during different preseasons, he almost retired, we found out this week in 2017.
Yes.
Maybe it's good to kind of slow play.
All right. So if he's going to get him in the third, does Wentz get him?
I'm still going to say yes.
Wentz gets him. Third game, preseason.
Still going to say
that's
yes.
That's the one we need to watch.
Yeah.
How many series?
Probably two.
two series. Yeah. We're going to learn all about it. We're going to learn he's back in two series.
I'm putting the over-under at two series for Carson Wentz in the preseason.
All right. Now, in those two series, will he go long to Deshaun?
No.
He will not.
They'll keep Deshaun already got asked about that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and he said, no, we're going to save that for September against Washington.
Okay, they're going to save the play.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think we're going to keep a bottle on that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a mystery. we'll see. All right, what else? Anything? Next week, since your squad practice work, that's all organized and stuff. You know, I don't know. Do the players like that?
Yeah, I think they do.
They do?
I think they do. Yeah, I think so. Because you get to this point in training camp, they've been hitting each other, and it gets there's a level of monotony that creeps in during the dog days of training camp that I think that they like. The kind of energy that gets instilled when a different team comes into your backyard, because even though it's practice, when it's not the same colors as you, you know, there's just this natural ratcheting up of intensity that you can clearly feel, and I think it's beneficial for the teams, honestly, because you do get good work in there, and it does have like a chippiness that is more game like than you get in other settings. And generally, I mean, everything that I've heard, the players like it.
All right, so there's no danger of them getting chewed up by Lamar Jackson like a couple years ago when you watched Brady at the NovaCare Center complete like 20 in a row.
I will never see anything like what I saw that summer. The defensive backs were hurting anyway, and then Brady comes in and he put on the clinic for the ages, Mike. I don't know that
he
one
did.
Ball,
I saw a lot of it too. Yeah,
I don't know that one ball dropped to the ground.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. You're right. It was disheartening.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you, I guess, tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. All right, break brother. This bad boy down.
All right, man. It's Tim McManus talking to us with the training camp report, daily training camp report from Timmy, brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp online at trainingcamp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.